Welcome to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast, informing, encouraging, and supporting your church. Your hosts are Michael Martin and Dan Busby from ECFA.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. This is Michael Martin, and I'm joined again today by my co-host, Dan Busby.
Hello, it's great to be here and to be talking about one of my favorite topics, ministers' taxes.
Yep, that's exactly right. So here we are right in the middle of another tax season. So we've appropriately called the theme for today's podcast, Ministers' Taxes Made Easy. You know, there's a quote that's been attributed to Albert Einstein. He said, "The hardest thing in the world to understand is the income tax." And, you know, he wasn't even talking about all the unique rules that apply to ministers' tax issues. So, Dan, I'm wondering, is there really even such a thing as ministers' taxes made easy?
You know, Michael, there is hope. At ECFA, we try our best to take some of the most complicated tax, finance, and other issues and communicate them in a way that's easy for all to understand. I think it's become our trademark. And that's why we recently published our latest edition of an annual tax ebook, Ministers' Taxes Made Easy. Tracy will have more details on that resource later in the podcast, but for now, we're going to dive right in to talking about 10 of the biggest tax mistakes made by ministers that we also cover in the ebook. So, Michael, can you start us off with number one?
Absolutely, I'd be glad to. And in addition to making this topic easy, we're going to try to make it fun. And we're going to do that by just throwing in, like the Albert Einstein quote, a few little jokes or tax humor just to kind of lighten it up, if that's all right. So for our first biggest mistake out of 10, we have improperly treating church payments for out-of-pocket medical expenses as tax-free when the church has not established a proper plan. So that's our first biggest mistake. And really here, what we're talking about is the church paying for the pastor's medical expenses without any formal plan that's following IRS guidance. And then in turn, really, the minister acting as if there are no income tax consequences, which is a mistake. And this really became a major issue several years ago with the Affordable Care Act regulations, really caused quite a bit amount of controversy. We heard a lot about it here at ECFA, and we don't have time to cover all the details, but we do have another resource on our website. It's called The Five Roads to Healthcare Reimbursements ebook for those who want to learn more about this issue. So again, the big mistake here to avoid is treating medical expenses medical expense reimbursements as tax-free unless the church has a properly established plan that meets tax law guidelines. And you probably heard the names of some of those plans, like flexible spending accounts, health savings accounts, and others. But just to kind of give you an example of what a formal plan might be.
Well, that's very helpful, Michael. And for number two, we have filing as self-employed for income tax purposes on your church salary using tax benefits only available to employees and leaving yourself vulnerable to reclassification by the IRS to employee status upon audit. That was a very long mistake. We'll try to break that down. Using the correct filing status, employee or independent contractor, is a fundamental issue that bears so many consequences for the rest of a pastor's tax situation. You know, certain benefits are only available to pastors in an employer-employee relationship, so be sure that you've been given the proper classification by your church. Once you have the correct classification of employee or independent contractor, you can then begin to analyze whether certain fringe benefits, like the exclusion of employer-provided health insurance, apply to you.
No, that's right. I think that's a really good one to highlight as just one of those fundamental issues that we can sometimes skip over, but it has such an impact on a lot of the rest of our tax situation. Well, I'm going to take mistake number three, and that is failing to have at least a modest housing allowance designated, even when living in church-provided housing. So this mistake really would apply to those ministers who, again, live in church-provided housing, which we often hear referred to as a parsonage. Many of those folks are not aware that even if they live in church-provided housing, the church can still provide a modest housing allowance, and that would be from a pastor's cash salary, to cover housing-related expenses like utilities or furnishings that may not be provided by the church. So watch out for that tax mistake.
That's good. And then tax mistake number four is failure to understand and apply the fair rental test for the housing allowance relating to minister-provided housing. Wow, that's a mouthful. But here's what it means. For ministers who do provide their own housing, not a parsonage, one of several limits on the amount of the tax-free housing allowance designated from salary is that it must not exceed the fair rental value of the home. This limit was adopted by Congress as a protection from potential abuses of the housing allowance beyond reasonable limits. But practically, be sure that when you're calculating the amount of income that can be excluded from your taxes as housing allowance, that the amount excluded does not exceed the fair rental value of the home. You know, Michael, some people refer to the housing exclusion as a tax loophole. And I remember that Russell B. Long, former U.S. Senator, once said, "A tax loophole is something that benefits the other guy. If it benefits you, it is tax reform."
That's good. So it's all about the other guy, isn't it?
Right.
All right. Well, hey, we are moving right along here, and we're already at the halfway point. So congratulations, everyone, for listening along. For mistake number five, we have insisting that the church deduct FICA-type Social Security for a pastor's compensation. So we're going to unpack that here. Just remember, pastors are always subject to the Self-Employment Contributions Act, or SECA-type Social Security. SECA, S-E-C-A, SECA is always paid by the pastor, not by the church, and not deducted from a pastor's compensation by the church. FICA-type Social Security only applies to lay employees, never to pastors, and that's something, a mistake that we see happen frequently. If a church acquiesces to a pastor's request to deduct FICA taxes, the church is subject to correcting this treatment at a later day. So really what this can mean is time, confusion, and perhaps obtaining some pretty expensive professional assistance. And FICA deductions by the church create issues also for the pastor. The matching FICA paid by the church is taxable income for the pastor, even though it's not reported as taxable compensation on the pastor's W-2. This could result in the underpayment of income taxes by a pastor, which is why we're highlighting this issue. So, that being said, the pastor should let the church do what the church should do, and that is not subjecting the pastor's compensation to FICA-type Social Security.
Well, that's an important mistake, Michael. Let's move on to number six, which is failing to keep a log of miles driven using personal vehicles for church purposes. This is a tax trap because it can lead to vehicle mileage that is not reimbursed or deducted. Either option results in a financial disadvantage for the pastor. When a church reimburses a pastor for church-related mileage using personal vehicles, the pastor should maintain a log of church-related miles, identifying dates, destinations, business purposes, and odometer readings to submit to the church for reimbursement. The bottom line is, no log equals no basis for reimbursement. When a church does not reimburse a pastor for church-related mileage driven using personal vehicles, and that happens far too often in my opinion, the only income tax advantage available to the minister is to deduct the mileage on Schedule A. Of course, many ministers do not itemize their deductions on Schedule A because they use the standard deduction. So in that case, there is no income tax deduction benefit for unreimbursed mileage. However, there's still good news. There's still a Social Security tax benefit available because unreimbursed church-related mileage may be deducted for the Social Security tax computation even if the expenses are not used as a Schedule A deduction. The bottom line is that whether church-related miles driven using personal vehicles is reimbursed or not, without adequate record keeping of the mileage, there is no basis for a reimbursement or deduction.
Gotcha. No, that's good, Dan. And so I've been kind of waiting to throw in another one of our tax jokes, okay? Ever since you mentioned the one from Russell Long, I think this one I can identify with. It is, next to being shot at and missed, nothing is really quite as satisfying as an income tax refund. What do you think about that one?
Amen.
Being shot at and missed. I like that. Okay, well, we're jumping back in to number 7, and that is claiming office in the home treatment, which is rarely justified under present law. So a lot of times we hear about the tax benefits for having a home office. This is really kind of what we're talking about. And it's really another pretty detailed area that we don't have time to break down on this podcast. Our listeners are probably thanking us. But I think the short strokes here, as we talk about the mistakes, is that most pastors who serve in churches of at least a modest size and have an office at the church would not qualify for the home office tax benefits. And for those of you who that might strike a chord with, you're interested in more details, you can check out the Tax and Finance Guide for Ministers that we publish each year with Zondervan. There's a really good section on that mistake.
All right. Well, that brings us to number 8, not documenting business expenses to reflect business purpose, business relationship, cost, time, and place. You know, it's unfortunate that so many pastors are left with church-related expenses that cannot be deducted for tax purposes or reimbursed by the church. And this is simply because the expenses were not properly documented by the pastor. This is poor stewardship on the part of the pastor. It is so important for pastors to develop the habit of carefully documenting all church-related expenses, including ministry purpose, names of individuals entertained, time, place, and cost.
Well, that's right. And really on a related note, we have mistake number 9, and that is failure of ministers to use an accountable reimbursement plan. So Dan, you just talked about pastors claiming unreimbursed business expenses on their taxes. Really, a much better scenario is for the church to reimburse expenses through an accountable expense reimbursement plan that follow the formalities that are required by the tax law. It's a much better scenario. So although it's going to take some work for the church, it's really for the benefit of every pastor, because even when proper substantiation is kept, as Dan mentioned in number 8, so even if we avoid mistake number 8 and the pastor tries to claim unreimbursed expenses on their taxes, very rarely will these expenses provide a tax benefit because of certain thresholds that must be exceeded before those benefits are going to kick in for the pastor. And that's why, again, we always say the best case scenario is for the pastor to have those expenses reimbursed through the church under an accountable reimbursement plan.
Excellent. And so we finally made it down to number 10, Michael. And it is improperly opting out of Social Security because you don't believe it's a good investment. Wow, this is a big one. We come across pastors all the time with questions about opting out of Social Security and the potential implications. For those who maybe haven't heard about this scenario before, what we're talking about is a special provision in the tax law that allows ministers within a certain time frame of entering ministry to choose not to be taxed or receive benefits under the Social Security system of the United States. In many cases, pastors have been told that it's a good idea to take the opt-out of Social Security because Social Security won't exist when you reach retirement age, or it isn't a good financial investment, and more. The problem with that line of advice and thinking is that it's inconsistent with the stated requirements ministers must meet in order to properly opt out of Social Security. One of the basic requirements is that the minister has a religious or conscientious objection to accepting public insurance. In other words, receiving Social Security benefits. For the vast majority of pastors, this probably isn't going to be the case. So many ministers are being ill-advised to sign a dishonest statement under penalty of perjury. And even with the integrity issue aside, which is huge, many of the pastors who were advised to opt out decades ago find themselves at an age near retirement where maybe they haven't saved all those years like they should and now have no other alternatives for retirement. It can result in a really tragic scenario. So if you're a pastor, just be careful anytime you hear talk about opting out of Social Security that you're properly educated.
Wow, no, that's right. Thanks for walking us through that. I totally understand what you mean about some of those tragic scenarios. I've had some really tough conversations over the years with pastors and churches who they really didn't understand the consequences of those opt-out rules and then were left with quite a mess to deal with and not a lot of time usually to sort through those messes. So, but really speaking of some questions and real life scenarios, we're now going to turn to the answers to your questions segment, which is always one of my favorite part of these podcasts. And for our first question that we have today, we have someone asking ECFA, after how many days is a reimbursement taxable? So this kind of relates back, Dan, to a couple of the mistakes that we talked about in terms of expense reimbursements and so forth. But based on the question, we're going to assume that it relates to a church that has an accountable expense reimbursement plan. And then the question is based on the timing of those reimbursements. So there's not really a bright line test here, but the IRS does provide us some guidance in terms of a 60-day safe harbor, and that safe harbor is it's a key concept. In other words, a reimbursement that's made, let's say, 62 days after the date of an expenditure is probably going to be allowed under the plan. Whereas if you have an expense that's reimbursed several months after the 60-day safe harbor, it's likely not reimbursable under the plan. The goal really should be to have all expenses turned in within 60 days of the expense occurrence. So for those of you who are looking for kind of a measuring stick, that 60 days is really important. So I hope that helps. And with that being said, Dan, unless you've got some comments on that, we'll let you take the next one.
No, that was well done, Michael. And we're going to take our second question, which is one that relates to the housing allowance. And the question is, we're curious about what types of expenses qualify for the housing allowance. Is it just the monthly mortgage payment or more? Well, that's a good question because we always want to maximize the benefit of the housing allowance while, of course, staying within the limits of the tax law. In addition to mortgage principal and interest payments, other examples of eligible housing allowance expenses include real estate taxes and fees, homeowners insurance, utilities, furnishings, and homeowners association fees. We have an entire worksheet of eligible expenses you might consider. It's actually in the ebook we've been mentioning on Ministers' Taxes Made Easy. Well, Tracy Weber, ECFA's Director of Church Engagement, is going to tell us more about how folks can get their hands on this valuable resource. Tracy?
Hey, great discussion today, guys. And I'm still sympathizing a little bit with that quote from Albert Einstein. But anyway, this discussion on the top 10 mistakes has been a great introduction. And I know our listeners will really want to take advantage of our new ebook, Ministers' Taxes Made Easy, which is an extremely helpful resource in this area that can be confusing to so many pastors. Dan, Michael, and John Van Drunen from our ECFA team have authored the latest version of this guide that includes clear explanations of some of the unique tax rules applying to ministers. It also includes updates from the latest round of tax changes, filing dates, and two sample income tax returns that illustrate the process of completing a minister's tax return step by step. And even if you're an early bird and have already filed your taxes for this year, the guide will be a great resource as you encounter the various tax issues that can come up throughout the year in preparation for the next tax season. It's always less than a year away. Minister's Taxes Made Easy is a free ebook download. Just visit our resources page on ecfa.church and click on the ECFA tax booklets, or email me at tracy@ecfa.org, and I'll be happy to help. Dan and Michael, it's back to you.
All right. Well, hey, thanks again, Tracy. I do hope everyone who's a pastor or at least knows a pastor takes advantage of that free resource on our website. And again, just a reminder, if you'd like to have one of your questions featured in an upcoming edition of the podcast, it's as easy as emailing us podcast@ecfa.org. We look forward to hearing from you and taking some of those questions. With that being said, Dan, would you like to close us out here with a little bit of encouragement?
Absolutely. There are so many verses in Scripture that provide encouragement for us, but one I really love related to integrity comes from Proverbs 28:18. Whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. You know, when we strive to be people who walk in integrity, Scripture promises that God sees it and will honor it. On the other hand, we're told those who are crooked will fall.
Well, that's a great verse and another great promise for us from Scripture. So thanks again for sharing that, Dan. In our next podcast, we will continue the series on Taxes Made Easy with a special episode on Church Reporting Made Easy. We hope you'll join us. Until next time, God bless you.